Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hey everybody, welcome to the press. It's the start of a new week, and we've got 2 PGA Tour events this week. We don't have a whole lot on tap. Otherwise, we do have the LPGA in New Jersey for the first of 2 events, the Cognizant Founders Cup. Nelly Korda is back. We've also got Champions Tour's first major of the year, which is the region's tradition in Alabama. We're going to touch on those on Wednesday. Between today and tomorrow, we will talk about the Wells Fargo Championship, which is the signature event this week at Quail Hollow in Charlotte. Then just one state south, the opposite field event or the additional event, depending on whose parlance you're using. That is the Myrtle Beach Classic, the debuting tournament in the Grand Strand. It's a great week for that. I spent a lot of time in Myrtle Beach over the course of the year. My sister-in-law lives down there full-time, and I go down there with my family. So it's other than here home in the D.C. area, that's the place I spend the most time. So it's really cool to kind of see a second home type thing. That city has changed so much in the 17 years I've known my now wife. And it has been really cool to see the place grow and change and thrive, and to get a PGA Tour event is really cool for them, even if it is an Oppo event, and everyone involved knows that, but it's a great opportunity to showcase a growing, really enjoyable place. We will talk about that tomorrow more than anything. We're going to talk about opening lines for the Wells Fargo Championship today, spend some time on that, and then we can worry about that otherwise. So let's get into that right away. First, we do need to take a little victory lap. It is a victory Monday. Hopefully you listened to the show last week because we told you to bet Taylor Pendrith at 90-1 before the tournament. Came through for us, albeit in very strange fashion, on Sunday at the CJ Cup Byron Nelson. Ben Coles played a phenomenal final round to take the lead to the 72nd tee, a par 5. You figure both guys are probably going to birdie it. It's an easy hole. All you got to do is hit the green in 2 on a 530-yard hole that's not that hard. It's not like Ben is a short hitter, but he's not as long as Taylor Pendrith. Pendrith gets home, actually goes a little deep to the very back of the green, gets a little rollback. He's got a 40-footer, and Ben Coles doesn't find the green. He finds it just short, winds up just outside of one of the bunkers, greenside, and just straight chunks it. Just chunks it. And then the next one leaves a very awkward stance in the bunker, chips that one up, has, what, 5 feet for a par that would have gotten him into the playoff. He misses that. That's after Pendrith cozies it down to 2 feet for an almost certain birdie. Pendrith makes the birdie, and that's the tournament. So real heartbreaking way for that to happen. I feel really bad for Ben Coles. He's a buddy of Denny McCarthy's who plays out of our club. And that's an unfortunate way to lose and win your first PGA Tour title. However, that's how golf works. You got to play all 72. So we cashed that at 90-1. Hopefully you got in on that last week. This week we have Quail Hollow. We've got Myrtle Beach. Quail Hollow is a par 71 course to change the par. It used to be par. It's been 70. I'm pretty sure it's been 72, but it is 71 now. And this is a 7,500-yard George Cobb golf course. They have done a variety of projects to it with RTJ senior coming in, and doing work to it to make it tougher, redesigning holes in their entirety to make it tougher to host their PGA championships. It's hosted a President's Cup. It's a fine venue. It is a very, very nice club. It's also a place where hitting the ball longer does help. Definitely helps. I mean, it does everywhere. But really what you're trying to do is be good with 9-iron to 6-iron. And you're going to hit some shots. You're going to hit some longer iron shots. They've got some longer par threes. So you're going to have to hit a good couple quality longer irons per round, 2 to 3 of those, and then take advantage of the shorter holes. You really got to use your full bag here. This is a complete golf course. I know not everyone loves it architecturally, but it demands the right stuff of the players. You've got Max Homa, who's a 2-time winner here. Rory's won here, I think, twice. He came back from on the cut, making the cut on the number to win this tournament. What was that? That was a long time ago, 12, 14 years ago. But Wyndham Clark's the defending champion here. We've got a good field. The only eligible player who did not commit is Scottie Scheffler. There was some thought that Scheffler might come back for this as a tune-up for Valhalla next week. I'm assuming then that Meredith has had the baby or is awfully close to having the baby, or they're going to do some kind of speed it along a little bit. You know, we'll see. But the soonest we're going to see Scottie Scheffler again is at the PGA Championship. And that, I think, should influence your betting of the event. We'll talk about that probably more tomorrow or Wednesday. But if you were crazy enough to start thinking about betting Scottie Scheffler at 3.5 to 1 or 4 to 1, now that should probably be out of your hands at this point. So let's get into the table for this week. Rory McIlroy leads the table, 15 to 2, 7.5 to 1. Xander Schauffele's 10 to 1. Ludvig Åberg, 11 to 1. Wyndham Clark is 18 to 1 with Patrick Cantlay. Max Homa is 22 to 1. Victor Hovland, Tommy Fleetwood, Colin Morikawa are all 25 to 1. Cameron Young is 28 to 1. We'll come back to him. Zahid Theegala is 30 to 1 with Matt Fitzpatrick, Justin Thomas, Hideki Matsuyama, 35 to 1. Will Zalatoris, Jordan Spieth, and Tony Finau, along with Alex Noren. 40s, Siwoo Kim, Russell Henley, Ben Ahn, Brian Harman, 45, Sungjae, Sam Burns, who's an interesting play, Jason Day, Akshay. Your 50s, Christian Bezuidenhout, who was originally listed in the field on Friday for the Myrtle Beach Classic, but got in based on being in the next 10. Adam Scott, they're 50. Steven Yeager, Ricky Fowler, Corey Connors are 55. Your 60s, Hoagie Lowry, Sepp Straka, Harris English, Denny, Chris Kirk, Billy Horschel. Your 65, singular, is JT Poston. 70 is Keegan Bradley, Lucas Glover, Kirk Kitayama, Adam Schenck are 75. We'll just call it there. We don't need to go through the whole list here. But your longest shots, just in case you're curious, are Gary Woodland and Peter Malnati. Those guys are 300 to 1. Ben Coles is 350 to 1. He was like 300 to 1 last week, though naturally he's longer this week. Grayson Murray's 400 to 1. Nick Dunlap is 250 to 1, who, by the way, is flashing signs of figuring this thing out in spurts. Not whole tournaments, but spurts. So he's finding his way out here. All right. I think, for me, Rory is unbettable at 7.5 to 1. And so is Xander at 10 to 1. Now, I love him in one and done. If you're playing that kind of league, I really like Xander this week. He has a good record here. He hasn't won in a while, but he does have a good record here. He's having a great year. I do like how his game lines up here. Ludvig feels like the most obvious play in the world, doesn't it? He's hitting it great, scoring well, having fun, no Scotty to get in his way. It's a golf course that rewards massive length. Feels like he should be a bet. Wyndham Clark should probably be a bet at 18 to 1. Usually you don't bet guys to go back-to-back. But he was third at the Heritage. Other than the Masters, where he missed the cut, he has otherwise been great for the last 2.5 months. What's not to like? And this venue should bring back a whole lot of good memories for the breakthrough from last year. So I like him. Can't lay pass. Homa, I feel like, is a must-bet, too. 2-time winner of this event. clearly likes the venue, just is in a good place, I think. He isn't playing the best of his golf, right? But he's playing really good golf, and that's good enough for me at 22-1. Hovland pass, Fleetwood pass, Morikawa maybe, but probably pass. I think the course, 7,500 yards isn't too long for him, and the driving corridors are fine enough for him that it shouldn't penalize him off the tee too much. Maybe. Put a pin in that. But I do want to be, and I'm going to hate saying this, but I want to be on Cameron Young, I think, this week at 28-1. He really liked this venue in the President's Cup. And what I don't know is if that experience 2 years ago, he liked it because it was team-based and a lot of the pressure was off, so he can go smash the ball and it was probably going to be fine. They were going to beat the Internationals anyway. Or is it because he likes the venue? That's up to you to figure out, but I may convince myself by the end of the week to bet him. I don't think a lot of people are going to bet him because he hasn't won yet, so you're probably not losing out on much if you waffle. Sahith Theegala, I love every week. I feel like he can thrive anywhere, but this is a place he can thrive. There are a lot of green complexes that require imagination and thought, and he's got that in spades. I really like his game. JT feels lost. Matsuyama, I really would like here. He had a good run in that original PGA Championship at this venue. Didn't get it done and isn't playing his best golf right now, but he might be a sneaky play at 30. Zalatoris pass could be an injury problem. Finau pass. Jordan Spieth is out of the top 20 in the world for the first time in 3 years. Pass. Alex Noren doesn't win. Did you see him miss a four-footer, five-footer for birdie on the final hole to sew up a tie for second place? Not good. Siwoo Kim is interesting to me at 40-1. I really like Siwoo Kim. Playing very, very good golf. A lot of people are probably going to be on him this week. Ben On's interesting. He played very well at the Nelson. I think against better competition, he struggles a little bit. So I'm going to pass on him, Harmon, and M. I do kind of like Sam Burns here. We haven't heard a lot from him this season, but I do like him. He had a good finish with the players, but I do like him here. Jason Day's played pretty well here in the past. Akshay's been playing pretty okay. Maybe he's worth a consideration here this week. I mean, if you look at his recent starts, T18 at the Heritage, T35 at the Masters. He obviously won the Texas Open, Houston, tied for 11th. So, I mean, tied for 17th at the Valspar. He's playing good golf. Really, really good golf. So, might be worth a look at 45. Christian Bezuidenhout is going to look great in our model tomorrow because he just gained so many strokes. He's a really quality player. It's just hard for him to win. 51's probably need to be more like 75 to think about him. Adam Scott, 51. Steven Yeager, 55-1. Fowler, 55-1. No. Corey Connors, maybe, at 55-1. I do like Tom Hoagie, 60-1. Not the longest hitter ever. I get it. And he was T41 last week and T18 after that blow-up hole at the Heritage. But overall, he's been playing good golf. I think he is attractive at this price. I would like him a little longer, but he is attractive at this price. Shane Lowry's been playing well. He kind of wanted to choke it up a little bit at the Zurich Classic. Rory helped him, calmed him down a little bit. Maybe that carries over here. He has been playing very good golf for the last couple months. A lot of people like Sepp Straka here. I can see that. I'm going to not go there, but I do love his... I love Sepp Straka's game. I really like watching him play golf. He's been playing pretty okay. Denny, 60-1. It's going to be hard for me to bet him again anytime soon. Just watching what happened at the Texas Open. I didn't even have a ticket on him then. It was just hard to watch that it didn't work out. But that's the emotional investment of this piece that you have to be able to separate yourself from. If you think he's going to play well at this venue, and I think he's at a disadvantage based on his driver, not the best iron player. So I would stay away. But if you're going to stay in the 60 range and bet on somebody, maybe someone like Billy Horschel, who just won at the Corrales Punta Cana. I'm not saying the Corrales Golf Club is an analog to Quail Hollow Club. They are very different courses, but they both are 7,500 yards long. They both have fairly generous driving areas. They both have big greens. I can go with Billy Horschel here. Get a little bit deeper than that. Maybe a Kirk Kitayama. I really like Adam Schenck. His game is in a good place right now. 75-1 is right about where Wyndham Clark won this from last year, if I remember right. So I like that number for Adam Schenck. Matthew Pavon's playing well at 90-1. I think at least worth a consideration. Jake Knapp's a really interesting one here because he had been struggling mightily the last few weeks and then found something at the Nelson that really worked for him. Gave it a good run through Saturday, just didn't have it on Sunday. Hey, that happens. He's 100-1 here. If he keeps hitting it the way he's hitting it, and he has the tempo to hit all the partial shots, short game shots, I could see him doing very well here. Probably going to play him. Mack Hughes is interesting. Mack Hughes might get a little bump here at 110-1 by watching Taylor Pendrith. I think Taylor Pendrith could be a Jane. You don't usually bet someone to go back-to-back, right? That doesn't happen very often at a venue or in tournaments consecutively. But Pendrith has finally lifted the lid on this thing, and he's a super long hitter. He really liked playing at Quail Hollow in the President's Cup a couple years ago. If you don't want to bet him to win, maybe you look at him plus 850 on a top 10. I think that's a very plausible thing. I think that's an interesting wager if you don't want to have that longer, you know, the bigger ticket on him to go back to back. I think that's a way you can play him and not feel like you're just lighting dollars on fire. Then you get past that and you get to some of the more interesting plays. Some people might recommend Seamus Power. Has been getting better, has been playing better. Has quietly put together a pretty nice year here. He doesn't have like a pedigree at this course. He doesn't have a great track record or anything to kind of boost him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be 150-1. But if you're going to look for like a shot longer than 110, 100-1, I think he's your guy. Because then otherwise you're into like Webb Simpson, who's in on a sponsor exemption, his fourth into a signature event this year with yours. It's just bananas. He should be locked up and in prison. This is against the law. Nick Dunlap, 250. Again, putting things together, but I don't think he's quite there yet. Lee Hodges. Somehow Kevin Tway got in this event based off of like the swing five. Adam Svensson's in this event. He has not been playing well, but good showing for the Canadian gets him in. Gary Woodland is in here at 300-1. He does have good course history, really good course history. And if it weren't for the fact that I feel like he's still kind of feeling out his return to golf, I would be very interested in looking at him at this venue at that price. Missed the cut at the Masters, 64th at the Heritage, T21 at Houston. Missed the cut at the Valspar, 72nd at the Players. It's just not there yet in his comeback. So please don't bet him, but I just want to put an asterisk on him to say, hey, if something's going to happen in the right direction for Gary Woodland, it's here at this venue. It's a place he likes. That's the field. I mean, this is a short field. I believe it is 68 players. I don't have the final exact tally in front of me, but if you look at the updated field list, I'll give you the number here in a second. You are looking at 70 players in the field. So they've had 68, 69, 70 players in each of these signature events where they didn't have a required number to reach. So Pebble, you had to get to 80 for the Pro-Am piece. Everything else has kind of been that 68, 69, 70 figure. So that's what we're looking at in the future of these things. I think they will change the qualification criteria for next year to get this closer to like 81 players. But I also think a lot of the players who make these fields like the fact that it's not that different in field size and pay scale compared to the weekend field of a PGA Tour event. So the money doesn't get diluted as much. So there may be a move to try to keep it as it is. Let's just spend a couple of minutes on the Myrtle Beach Classic. I won't waste too much time here on this because I think we're going to talk about it significantly more tomorrow. But just kind of want to lay the foundation here if you're thinking about betting the Oppo event this week. So this tournament is a first-year event. They brought this event to Myrtle Beach because they needed an opposite field for Wells Fargo. They did this for a couple of tournaments, to signature events, to have opposite fields for them so that the players who lost position to get into what was formerly an open event would have some place to play. And that's this. So we've got an interesting field here on a course that most, if not all, of these players have never seen before. The Dunes Golf and Beach Club is right along the beach in Myrtle Beach. It's not even 10 minutes from my sister-in-law's house. It's a really, really good golf course. It is a Robert Trent Jones course. It's been there for 70 years, basically. Almost 75 years. They've done lots of work to it over the years. It is a classic RTJ, tough period architecture course. There are a fair amount of tight tee shots where they're going to take driver out of your hand, or landing areas where you want to avoid water. You're going to take driver out of your hand. A lot of big bunkers, a lot of big greens, a lot of hero golf, frankly, that could be involved this week, where you're going to have to take on some difficult either tee shots. 13th is the kind of the big one, the big par five called Waterloo. And then a bunch of kind of second shots where there's going to be a lot demanded of the player. But that's us. Them, they're great, right? They should be able to tear this place up unless the weather blows in. It's right along the water. Well, not right along. It's a block away from the water at some points. And if the wind kicks up, it will make it tougher to play. If it's pretty calm, these guys should light it up. That all said, we'll go over just kind of top of the table quick picks here, and then we'll dig in a little bit more. Erik van Rooyen is somehow in this field, 28-1, along with Daniel Berger and Ben Griffin. I don't know how Daniel Berger keeps getting this top billing. He's not playing good. Let him alone. Ben Griffin, though, is playing well in his last two individual tournaments on the PGA Tour, T14, T13. That'll be a bet for me. Davis Thompson, Bo Hostler, 30-1. Victor Perez, Ryan Fox, Matt Wallace, Kevin Yu, 35-1. Of those, I would like Ryan Fox and Matt Wallace. Wallace just played well to be the first-round leader at the Nelson. Ryan played very well with Garrick Higo in the Zurich Classic. I think that's going to be a boost for him. I like both those guys here. SH Kim, I like. He's playing really good golf. Cashing like five tournaments in a row. He's been playing at a good level. He's 40-1. Ryo Hisatsune makes a lot of cuts. Doesn't make a lot of good finishes, but makes a lot of cuts. He's 40-1. Torbjørn Olesen, 40-1. It feels like a play to me. Really like his game a lot, and I think this could kind of suit him. Andrew Novak, I think some people will get on, but 40-1 is too short. Justin Lauer is another guy I think you should like here at 45-1. He has been cashing in a lot of events, hanging around in the top 24, 25, 28 in like four of the last five events he cashed, and then had a very good finish in the team event, the Zurich Classic. Chan Kim, a lot of people are mad after last week, I understand. 50-1s I do like, though. He's 45. 50-1s I do like. Sam Stevens, been cashing a lot of checks. Matty Schmid, I think a high ceiling player, 50-1. Sammy Valimaki is interesting to me at 55-1. I think Garrick Higo is more interesting to me at 55-1. Jimmy Stanger's 55-1, I think for a reason. He has made good use of his limited playing opportunities on the PGA Tour this year. He kind of straddles between the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour. But he's 105th in the FedEx Cup standings this season. He's playing pretty okay for a guy that has only had 12 starts this year. He has missed the cut in the last three of the last four individual events that he's played. But the one that he did make the cut and do well was the Punta Cana Championship, the Oppo event. He was tied for third at the Puerto Rico Open. And his other best finish of the year is T14 at the Amex, another weaker event. So if you're trying to draw something from that, maybe time to get behind Jimmy Stanger at 55-1. Going down a little bit more, Alejandro Tosti is in this field, 60-1. This could be a place where he could do pretty well, I think. I like his chances here. Chad Ramey's kind of interesting at 65-1. Alex Bjork, 75-1, is someone I might line up behind. Troy Merritt might even be worth a look here. Troy Merritt played pretty well at the Nelson. Again, if you're looking at this golf course, it's 7,300 yards, which is not especially long for a PGA Tour player, par 71. So it's not out of the reach of a shorter hitter to be able to do well here. Troy's not long, but he's not bad either. I do like Alex Bjork's game. You guys should know that if you've listened to the show for a while. I just wish it translated more so far this season, but I might get suckered into betting him here just because it's a course no one knows. So maybe a ball striker can ball out here. And a guy whose game travels, at least should travel. So he could be an interesting play. Other than that, I really don't have a lot of tips, long shot feelings, any of those types of things. You may want to consider someone like a Wesley Bryan, who played very well in the last Oppo event, played very well in the Dominican Republic, gave himself a chance to win the tournament. Didn't, but gave himself a chance to win. He's from South Carolina. His other PGA Tour win, his one PGA Tour win, is in South Carolina. His brother is in the field. They played very well at the Bermuda Championship when they were in the field together. All those things, I think, are a reason to consider him at 130-1. Adrien Dumont de Chassart. I really want to keep betting this guy. I know he's going to figure it out. When he figures it out, he's going to win like 4 times in 7 starts. But I'm going to leave him alone at 110-1. If you want to try to think about someone who kind of knows their way around this type of environment, maybe you want to look at Uncle Ches Reavy at 130-1, but I think you may as well just be lighting that money on fire. And after that, I'm not going super deep on a Oppo event, but I think you can find some value in that 50 to 75 range that'll at least give you some interesting tickets to keep warm, at least for the first couple of days of the tournament. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. If you aren't already a subscriber, leave us a review on either Apple or on Spotify. Helps us out, helps us reach more people. Always good to hear feedback. Join Golf News Net for $40 a year, golfnewsnet.com. It's $10 for 1 week, which you have that option, but strongly recommend getting the $40 for the year. That'll get you on board ahead of the PGA Championship as well. We've got both models coming this week. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We've got the LPGA and the seniors, and that's it. We don't have a DP World Tour event, so we've got that for Wednesday, and we'll talk a little PGA Championship as well, just thinking about some guys to like before the tournament, given now that we know Scheffler's not playing this week. And if you would be so kind, follow me on social media. I'm on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy. I'm on Facebook and YouTube at Ryan Ballingy Golf, and Golf News Net is on all of those services. At the handle, Golf News Net. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time on The Press.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.